This is a background on my presentation. This was my healthy eating active living board when I was back in New York City. I was health policy coordinator, and as I mentioned, I'm currently pursuing a master's in public policy at the UC Riverside School of Public Policy with a focus on health policy. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. And this is the background for CACF. CACF was established in New York City in 1986, particularly when underserved Asian Americans came together and saw that there was a need to mobilize and activate the community to provide better services. And so the mission of CACF is it's the only nation that provides policy and advocacy work that's geared towards the Asian American community in New York City. And its policy and advocacy issues revolve around public health, child welfare, and education. And so this is a snapshot of the Asian American population in the US. As you can see on the top left, the Asian American community has surpassed the Latino community in terms of immigrant numbers. It's now 36% compared to 31. And on the right, you can see that although six ethnic groups make up more than 3/4 of the Asian American population, the community is actually very diverse, and so coming from an outsider's perspective, it's even though it may be seen as a very monolithic community, but there's actually a wide diversity in cultural and language diversity. And in terms of regional dispersion, many Asian Americans are residing more in the West, but there are significant populations in the North, East, South, and in the Midwest. Particularly in the Midwest, there's a lot of Asian Americans there via refugee placements, and also a lot of Asian Americans are residing there through transnational adoption. And so, as a snapshot of Asian Americans in New York, as you can see, New York City tends to dominate the population of Asian Americans, but there are significant populations in upstate regions, and again, these are usually because of refugees, particularly. A lot of those in the Himalayan communities, particularly in the Pali Divide community, have been placed in upstate New York. And here, more specifically, in terms of demographics, about 10% of the population lives in New York State, and then there are about 15% of Asian Americans in New York City. And so, as you can see, among foreign-born linguistic isolation, poverty, and lack of health insurance, there are significant gaps and disparities that affect the community. And so, for example, in terms of linguistic isolation, a large part of the community is linguistically isolated. And a definition for linguistic isolation is anyone over the age of 14 who does not speak English very well. It's a common factor for Asian Americans to actually need a lot of interpretation or translation services. In terms of poverty, the New York City Center for Economic Opportunity has released a report recently stating that Asian Americans in New York City have a poverty rate of 29%, which has surpassed the Black and Latino poverty rate in New York City. And as always, there's always lack of health insurance, particularly, and a lot of it is affected by immigration status. And so here's also a rough sketch of where the Asian Americans reside in New York City. A lot of them reside in Queens and Brooklyn. And although there might not be any population or groups in the Bronx or Staten Island, there are actually growing communities there. Particularly in Staten Island, there's a large Sri Lankan American community. And in the Bronx, there's a growing Cambodian Vietnamese community. And so my work in the Asian American community is around APA Healing, the Asian Pacific Americans Healthy Eating and Active Living in Our Neighborhoods. And so as a history, it was formed in 2009 with funding from CDC, particularly through the REACH MNL, the Racial Equity and Community Health approaches within minority populations. We worked closely with an organization named APEAL, which is based in Oakland, California. And APEAL stands for the Asian Pacific Partners for Empowerment, Advocacy, and Leadership. And they're one of the large national organizations that actually does healthy eating, active living work in both the United States mainland and in the Pacific Islands. And so the objective of APA Healing is just to create awareness and change within the community regarding food systems, healthy eating, active living, and the built environment. And our goal is to actually promote from more of a programmatic approach to eventual policy approach, where we are giving community members the tools to be better advocates and to improve just the healed work within their community. And so in terms of collaborative members, we worked with 6 members who serve 10 ethnic Asian communities in New York. And so for year 1, we did a needs assessment. We used an adaptive stages of readiness model that was adapted by appeal. And so during this time, we actually engaged community awareness and community readiness in terms of creating any sort of infrastructural change regarding heal work. And so out of that, we actually, out of that community needs, we used surveys and photo voice, and which was very helpful in just moving forward in terms of our work for the next year. And so for year 2, we released a policy report called Planting Seeds of Change. And this is very momentous because during our research work and the data collection, we realized that for one, that food within the Asian American community is definitely very central in terms of providing sociality as a way to bind the community together. And there was also a large need for green open spaces in New York, particularly because it's an urban area. People did find that having community gardens in these green spaces are definitely promoted more a more holistic health outcome and just being within the urban environment. And so and here are some photos from the Photo Voice exhibition where one of the participants she was given the camera. She was trained on how to just look at the heel work in her community, and this is one of her photos that her mom took of her with and playing with her friends and peers. Here's also another some photos of what happened during the reception. Many community members were invited to speak and their experience with Photo Voice, and some of them were very thankful for the experience because it gave them a different lens of looking at the community through an artistic means. And here's an elderly individual. He took a snapshot of the Chinese American community the Chinese community in Chinatown and how the elderly congregate together. And so for year 3, we established a relationship with a partnership for Healthier New York City. And so the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene created this initiative to actually look out into the various boroughs and see how they can use a more localized community-specific approaches in addressing the heal disparities in the community. And so we worked closely with Make the Road New York in Queens, who was the lead in that particular borough. And so for year 4, we worked closely with one of our community organizations, Kalusugan Coalition, who worked with the Filipino-American community in terms of addressing cardiovascular needs within that specific population. And so for them, they wanted to involve the community in terms of getting them educated and more aware about what their cardiovascular health disparities were. And so they created a program called Pinoy Healing. Pinoy is actually another colloquial term for Filipina, and so they decided to, as part of Pinoy Healing, to do a healthy eating competition and the play streets. And so as part of the healthy eating competition, they encouraged participants to use a very traditional Filipino dish, a very traditional cultural dish, and put a different twist to it by making it healthier and using fresher ingredients and reducing like salt and sodium. And as a reward for that, the winning dish became part of a restaurant menu for a certain amount of time, and participants were definitely they definitely liked the experience of being able to show off their culinary skills. And so for the police streets, as you can see here, it's just a way for the community to block off a certain road artery and make it more conducive to having fun, having these artistic, having games, having ways to express themselves culturally, and they also use a lot of environmental tree education sessions. And so as you can see, there's a wide range of participants taking part in it with both children and adults participating. And as you can see below, here are some of the organizations who made the event possible. And as you can see, the guy in the red tie, he's a council member who represents that region. And so we also work with Lunch for Learning, which is a coalition whose goal is to increase universal school lunch in New York City. Basically, their goal is to make sure that children, no matter what their socioeconomic status, they have free access to lunch in the public, the New York City public school system. And for year five, we also created Good Eats Day Streets. For this one, we work closely with Appeal to do more of an adult environment assessment with the community, where we work closely with Mark Benton, who's a CDC walkable communities expert. And so we actually led community members in Jackson Heights, Queens to actively assess what is the built environment and how they can see whether or not it's safe for them and for their children and how they can actively improve it. And so here's some photos from the community session, and here's some of them actually doing the walk on it with Mark. And so in terms of what we've done for APA HELIN, in terms of policy accomplishments, we definitely were in a very unique position of being the intermediary between the community and the larger policy forces, where we were able to educate and inform the community regarding all the developments regarding healthy eating and active living that's happening on both the federal, state, and city level. And so we made sure the community was aware of these changes and how they themselves can assert themselves in any discussion or how they can change change some infrastructure in their community. And so we did that by also providing organizational capacity and technical assistance when needed. And we also linked them with policymakers and HEAL change makers. For example, during the walk audit, during the police streets that we mentioned, the community was having a blockade in terms of getting a permit. And so we actually reached out to one of the council members and through a few meetings, we're able to get that lifted and move forward the play streets. And so in terms of upcoming developments on the food systems, we've been tracking some state and local legislation regarding safety warning labels on sugar sweetened beverages and the Healthy Happy Meals bill. And so we're definitely in New York City, we're definitely trying to make sure the community is aware regarding these developments, especially since California has just did some great work regarding SSBs, and I think New York State, definitely wants to move forward with that. And in terms of the built environment active living, we, CACF, has just received a grant from the Asia Pacific Islander American Health Forum to actually kind of move forward with the walk audit and then use that to not only educate the community, but also use it as a tool to educate others to assess the built environment. And we're possibly going to use a GIS community mapping piece to move forward with that project. And in terms of regarding this health equity in general, I think within the Asian American community, more data disaggregation needs to be done, particularly since as a community, since the Asian American community tends to be aggregated as a whole, it tends to gloss over particular health and economic disparities that certain ethnic communities experience. For example, the South Asian community tends to have higher rates of diabetes, and the Chinese community tends to have higher rates of hepatitis B affliction. And so we definitely advocate for making sure that when we're looking at the Asian American community, look at them according to their various cultural factors. And also, it's also important to look at cultural competency and language accessibility, because in the community, as I've said, the linguistic isolation is very prevalent. And I think for all of us, it's also important to include community members and just people in general in the decision-making process, so that they're aware and engaged within how to create that systems change. And so before I end my presentation, I'd just like to end with this quote from Yuri Koshiyama. Ms. Koshiyama was one of the legendary Asian American activists in the Asian American community, and she's actually worked closely with Malcolm X during his time moving forward with civil rights and kind of a social rights movement. And so I think even though APA HELIN has moved the dial in terms of healthy eating, active living work, I think it's important for all of us to put in health equity as a way to make sure that all communities are healthy and we are healthy and we can create progress that way. Thank you.